You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
One of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I am Karen Hubbard, your host, and I am here with two of my co-hosts, one of which is out in the front room, but our brother Sean O'Hay is here. Good morning, Sean.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
This is the day the Lord has made.
You know, I was just going to say that. I was actually just going to come out with that scripture.
Then we can both rejoice, and again,
that's right.
Rejoice,
and
right?
We can be glad in it. And Nanette's out front there. Somebody come to the door. And, so we just welcome you to the broadcast. We thank you for joining us. Deanne had to work today, so she is not with us. And so we have Nanette Maldonado here with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got it right today. Oh, boy.
How's everyone feeling out there?
Yeah, hopefully you're rejoicing like we are, because really this is the day that the Lord has made. Every day, he makes every day, and every day is new. All things are new every single day, constantly. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But with us, he refreshes us day by day by day. When we surrender to him and just turn everything over to him, he makes our lives very awesome and abundant and wonderful. And a lot of times we forget that he's around. We forget that he lives in us. And then we're grumbling and complaining about, you know, this and that and the other thing. Our bodies are aching, or, you know, this isn't going right, or the price of gas or whatever. You know, we end up grumbling and we forget that God already has done everything for us, and we can just rest in him and let him direct our lives. You know, in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart.
Amen.
Not just when you feel like it. All your heart, all day, every day. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You know, and it seems like every Friday, you know, in preparation for the program, you know, I'll be all during the week reading scriptures and hearing things, and I've got, you know, just this plethora of stuff and ideas. And by the time Friday morning rolls around, I'm like, I have no idea if any of this is going to be working together for the program today. So I just take it, I put it in a pile, and I push it forward on my desk and say, Lord, these are all the things I'm thinking about that I feel like I should talk about. But I would rather talk about what the Lord wants to talk about. So that's why, you know, when we come every week, we have no plan. We're being led by the Holy Spirit and allowing him to speak, to give us the words to say. You know, in Psalm, I think it's 46, you know, where it says that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer.
Yes.
You know, and I just kind of look at it that way, that we don't know what we're going to say. We know what's in our heart. We know it's in our spirit.
Yeah.
We know the things we've been meditating on. But the Lord is the one that's going to make it all come together.
Mm.
So, Lord, just use our voices today. And
amen.
our prayer really is for you to receive from the Lord, even as we're just talking and discussing and throwing ideas out there or mulling over different things.
Mm-hmm.
We just pray that God will speak to your heart as you're listening to the broadcast. And we appreciate you tuning in every week. So as I have been doing since February, since President Trump announced that May 17th was going to be a day of rededication, rededicating the country to God. I've just been keeping that on the front burner because I really have a sense that this is going to, there'll be a significant shift in the nation. You know, God's given the church the opportunity to come together, to repent, to turn, to join together and petition God and to, you know, in Acts 3:19, where it says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. We know they're already wiped away when we've confessed Jesus. And then, of course, we do that continually day by day. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord.
Mm.
And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. And I dare say that I believe we're on the cusp of a great awakening, revival, and every other name that you want to attach to it, where God is going to show himself strong with miracles, signs, wonders. And anyway, I was going to say something that a friend had said years ago, but I feel like that the Lord wants to really kind of blow us out of the water and blow up all the religious junk that we have carried over the years and things that we have believed or not believed. You know, unbelief about God is not a good place to be. But I feel like the Lord's going to come and really bring refreshing to us, to the nation, to the church, especially for the church, you know, as the enemy just tries to come in and infiltrate. You know, we see in the natural, as in the natural, so it is in the spirit, you know, where we're seeing things in the nation coming to pass that we're like, well, wait a minute, we didn't ever think that this was going to happen in our nation. And, yeah, because the enemy wants to take away from you what God gave you, and the enemy wants to keep you from your inheritance in the Lord. And I believe that that's happening, you know, in our nation. So this May 17th, you know, many people haven't even heard of this event taking place, but it's called Rededicate 250, a national moment of faith. And so they're talking about that from the birth of our nation, America has been strengthened and sustained by people of prayer, from battlefield chaplains at Valley Forge to hymns sung in slave cabins and prayers in pioneer homes. Americans have turned time and time again to the moral ruler of the universe in times of triumph and travail. And many of the documents that at this website, if you want the information on the website, you can just call here to the station, 772-221-1100. So there's prayers and proclamations from the founding of our nation, when you can see God's hand in everything. And, you know, that fight that is taking place that, you know, well, no, the Constitution doesn't say that, or, you know, the documents don't say that. Yes, they do. That we are a Christian nation founded on Christian principles. But these prayers and public proclamations not only encourage reflection on the past, but invite the current generation to consider the indispensable role of faith in sustaining civic life, moral order, and national purpose as we prepare to usher in the next 250 years of American greatness. And so we just encourage you to, on May 17th, if you can go there to the National Mall to meet with people from everywhere. They're going to be having, what did they say, faith leaders, public servants joined by worship artists and choirs to reflect on defining moments, courageous lives, and extraordinary chapters in our history that reflect God's providence. And that's at the National Mall, the main stage located on 12th Street. But anyway, there'll be prominent faith leaders and others that are there. So they will be broadcasting it on different platforms. I'm sure many of the TV stations would carry it. So anyway, it's time to, you know, think about the nation, think about our country. And, you know, we can focus on that and forget about our own little personal things for a while. And, you know, because a lot of times, you know, we won't pray, we won't repent, unless it's something that we have a vested interest in. But this is our country. What was that song? This is my country.
Mm.
Was that that's a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Land that I love.
Mm-hmm. Land that I love. And yeah. Beside her and guide her.
Let me just give this quote,
yes,
by Franklin Roosevelt. This is one from his radio address on Brotherhood Day in February of 1936. So he says here, quote, "No greater thing could come to our land today than a revival of the spirit of religion, a revival that would sweep through the homes of the nation and stir the hearts of men and women of all faiths to a reassertion of their belief in God and their dedication to his will for themselves and for their world. I doubt if there is an problem, social, political, or economic, that would not melt away before the fire of such a spiritual awakening." And that's what we're praying for, revival, spiritual awakening, which will bring reformation to the country, to the nation, in every area, in families. And so that's what I have today.
Mm.
Praise God. All right, Nanette.
You know, throughout history, throughout time and history, there's an ongoing conversation with God that believers are coming to the reality of, you know, and coming face to face with the reality of their salvation. And it's called a continuum, and there are appointed times and appointed seasons for believers to really connect with God, to be able to join with God, to move into their future, because, you know, the Bible says our God is an all-consuming fire, and the fire that's burning right now is the fire that's not going to allow us to take a lot of our past into our future, because it's being made new. It's a special time. It's a compression of time. It's a time of learning the vocabulary of silence, a time of really learning what we haven't learned. It's like there's an awareness with this outpouring. And again, our God is an all-consuming fire. And the book of Hebrews tells us all things are upheld by the power of his word. And reality is, the Bible says, light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. And, you know, we are networking in the spirit realm, in the continuum of what God's really saying. So it's so important to recognize that we have two ears and one mouth. It's time that we learn how to hear twice as much as we speak, because, you know, again, light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. We have to continually learn how to pause, how to selah, how to not miss the suddenlies, the supernatural moments that God presents us with. Because while the darkness, or while the dark matter of the enemy is being exposed, the glory of God is invading and penetrating the earth with heaven's technology and manifesting real change. And there are priorities in the realm of the Spirit by our God, priorities that are non-negotiable with negativity.
Negativity, which there's plenty of that going around. And we have to counter that with the Word of God,
mm-hmm,
and with the truth.
Look, there's so many people out there that they really don't recognize, mm-hmm, the fact that what stands between them and their future or their next level is what they refuse to learn. And when we begin to study the Word of God, receive the Word of God, learn that vocabulary of silence, we come to the place where our faith begins to work, because it's innovative. It's innovative heavenly technology, so that the wisdom of God can give us strategy to keep moving forward, to keep escalating, to keep walking. You know, he keeps saying, come up higher, come up higher, come up higher.
Amen.
I think I'm going to become a holiness preacher.
I just love this, because I just want to pause for a moment and just say how thankful, you know, we don't, like, even me sitting here now, you know, I'm sitting between two people, like, we're all so different, but we have our saltiness, we have our, just our richness, like. And it's so, I'm just so thankful to be a part of it and to be like alongside both of you, because even you guys, you're different from each other. Yet I'm like you guys listening in. I'm listening in too. I'm like taking everything in. And half of the time, like, I can't speak after that. Like, I'm still, you know, chewing on what they just said. And it's just beautiful. And I just want to say it again. I'm just so thankful for the people in my life. And how they're so different and they're so rich in their way because of Christ. Christ in them. Christ in them. And how much we're devaluing others right now, where our opinions are becoming our gods. Mm-hmm. You know, our opinions right now of each other, of the nation, of denomination. I mean, all of it. You know, like Karen had said, you know, call it what you want. You know, we've called it revival. We've called it reformation. And we can still keep it in that same box, because those words are very powerful. If you really start digging into a study, even in itself, the word revival or reform, wow, it brings so much up. But how about just like the song, one of the songs that's been resonating in me is Jesus Be the Name, mm-hmm, you know, and that makes me cry. Holy, that there's no other name. And so for me at this moment, I'm like, I'm calling it holy. I'm calling these things that we're ready to come into is so holy. It's so impactful. Like the holiness of God. This is why Moses was in the cleft of a rock, because God was like, What you're asking me to show you, you have no idea what that would do to you. I just feel it so strongly. Like, it's just so holy. We can't even ourselves put it in a box or identify what we're about. Do you notice that every podcast, every like radio station, every whatsoever, you know, even in the bathrooms of our very own churches, we're all trying to, like, what is this that's about to happen? Mm-hmm. And I can't help but to say, again, there is no other name that makes me cry holy. And Jesus is the name. Let Jesus be the name about what we're about to walk into. Jesus was the name that these 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, were about to face. That Jesus behind that door, they were about to face him, bridegroom. And so, oh gosh. So, you know, we're so different. Scene is sharing a lot. Karen's sharing a lot. And I'm on the other end where it all fits together, where I've been in this place of Matthew 25. And, you know, if anyone wants to say something else before I just read a snippet of it, is it okay? You know, I'm reading this again because, again, I don't have to speak. The word of God will speak. And so, you know, we go to Matthew 25, and I know we've been hearing this, guys. I know. I can hear you guys say, oh, we've been in Matthew 25 for a long time. Every pastor, preacher, prophet, apostle is talking Matthew 25. Okay, but listen. Let's listen to it again, shall we? It says, oh, picture the kingdom of heaven this way. It will be like 10 bridesmaids who each picked up a lantern and went out to meet a certain bridegroom. Five of these women were sensible, good with details, and remembered to bring small flakes of oil for their lanterns. So it's kind of breaking it down that they were wise. They were prepared. They didn't know why they were finding themselves to be prepared, because they had no idea yet, right? The scriptures doesn't say that he's delaying, so they have no idea, but yet they chose, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, right? Okay. Then it says, but five of them were flighty, too caught up in their excitement of their jaunt and forgot to bring oil with them. The bridegroom did not turn up right away. Indeed, all the women, while waiting, found themselves falling asleep. All falling asleep. And then in the middle of the night, they heard someone call, "The bridegroom is here, finally. Wake up and greet him." And the women got up, trimmed the wicks of their lanterns, and prepared to go greet the groom. The five women who had no oil turned to their friends for help. "Please give us some of your oil. Our lanterns are flickering and will go out soon." But the five who come prepared with oil said they didn't have enough. "If we give you some of our oil, we'll all run out too soon. You better go wake up a dealer and buy your own supply." So the five ill-prepared women went in search of the oil to buy. And while they were gone, the groom arrived, and the five who stood ready with their lanterns accompany him to the wedding party. And after they arrived, the door was shut. Finally, the rest of the women turned up at the party, and they knocked on the door. "Master, open up and let us in." Refusingly, he said, "I certainly don't know you. So stay awake. You neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." Now, I'm not going to, you know, break it down in bits and pieces, but I was reading a couple of nights ago, and I found myself reading this. I started thinking about the oil in particular, and I started thinking about the lantern. And that particular lantern, you had to get like the most robust and oil to kind of light up, you know, to sustain, to burn up, okay? And it was the clearest oil. It was the oil just so pressed, so pure in its form. So it wasn't like any other oil, but for this particular lantern that they had at that time, for this particular burning, it was different. It required so much more. It was the purest of the oil. So they trimmed their wick, and they had more than enough oil. And that oil, again, had to keep burning. So the Holy Spirit led me then to Luke and the road of Emmaus. And I know one might not go with the other, and maybe they're not used as parallel scriptures. But for me, in my personal time, he was showing me something. And so in Luke, right, in Luke 24, okay, 13 to 35, and I'm going to read it very quickly. It said, picture this. "That same day, two other disciples, not of the 11, are traveling 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. As they walk along, They talk back and forth about all that has transpired during recent days. While they're talking, discussing, and conversing, Jesus catches up to them and begins walking with them. But for some reason, they don't recognize him. You two seem deeply engrossed in your conversation. What are you talking about as you walk along this road? They stop walking and just stood there, looking sad. And one of them, Cleopas is the name, speaks up. And he says, you must be the only visitor in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about what's been going on over the last few days. And Jesus says, what are you talking about? It's all about the man named Jesus of Nazareth. It's all about the man named Jesus of Nazareth. The Nazareth. He was a mighty prophet. Look how they're identifying him still. He's a mighty. How many are identifying him still as a mighty prophet? Okay. Who did amazing miracles and preached powerful messages in the sight of God and everyone around. Our chief priests and authorities handed him over to be executed, crucified, in fact. We had been hoping he was the one, you know, and the one who would liberate all Israel and bring God's promises. Anyway, on top of all this, just this morning, the third day of the execution, some woman in the group really shocked us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't see his body anywhere. And they came back and told us as they did see something, a vision of heavenly messengers. And these messengers said that Jesus was alive. Some people in our group went to the tomb to check it out. And just as the women had said it was empty. But they didn't see Jesus. And Jesus at that moment said, come on, men. Actually, in another translation, come on, men. Why are you being foolish? Here's that word again. Foolish. There were five foolish virgins and there were five wise virgins. So that's what the Lord highlighted to me. Foolish here in this particular scripture. Why are your hearts so sluggish? How many of our hearts are sluggish today? In fact, for some reason, they're not feeling anymore. They're kind of in a daze. And it says, when it comes to believing, when it comes to believing, guys, what the prophets have been saying all along. Right? What the prophets have been saying all along. Didn't it have to be this way? Jesus said. Didn't it have to be this way? Didn't the anointed one, which is Jesus, have to experience these sufferings in order to come into his glory? Then he begins with Moses and continues prophet by prophet, explaining again, guys, just like again today. Let me go back to the scriptures. Go back to everything that I told you, everything that I've given you. I haven't left you in ignorance. I've given you everything you need right before you. And so he's saying, he's explaining the meaning of the Hebrew scriptures again, showing how they were talking about the very things that had happened to Jesus, right? His mercy. His mercy is meeting those two individuals again, saying, ah, my children, let me explain this again. Let me remind you again, it was written. It was written. It is written. You just got to read it and you got to believe it. About this time, they are nearing their destination and Jesus keeps walking ahead as if he has no plans to stop there, but they convinced him to join them. And this is the beautiful thing. They said, please be our guest. It's getting late and soon it will be dark. Just like with those 10 brides, soon it was dark. It was delayed, right? It was getting late. Gosh, it's getting late. I'm like, come on. So he accompanies them to their home. When they sit down at the table for dinner, he takes the bread in his hands. This is Jesus, guys, and gives thanks for it. And then he breaks it and hands it to them. At that instant, two things happen simultaneously. At that instant, things just happen suddenly. Their eyes suddenly opened so they recognized him. we need to recognize our Jesus. And then it says, and he instantly vanishes, just disappears before their eyes. And amazing, weren't our hearts on fire within us while he was talking to us? Wasn't this burning taking place in us as he was speaking? That burning is like the Holy Spirit was telling me, you know, that little lamp that they were holding with the oil that they needed to keep burning? That's the burning, the revelation of our God, seeing Jesus, Jesus being the name, Jesus being the one. And so we have to keep burning. That's part of us being wise in this hour. How many of you have stopped burning when you're reading the scriptures? How many of you have stopped burning when you're praising God? How many of you have stopped burning in worshiping God? How many of you have stopped burning because you're waiting or you're disappointing or you know, all of these things that are happening around us? And so I pray that these scriptures spoke to your heart.
Amen.
Just for the fact that their eyes were opened, it's a fact their eyes were open and they had that intimate revelation knowledge of who he really was.
Yeah.
And we're living in the hour, in the generation of people that feel like they've sat amongst the exiles. I used to always say, people would say, where'd you come from? I said, I was sitting with the exiles because there wasn't a lot going on. But, you know, the bridegroom has different times and seasons when he begins to manifest not only his presence, but he's manifesting a people, you know, who operate out of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And what's happening with the body of Christ right now, for those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the heart that is open and receptive with the oil of gladness, with the anointing oil, with the unction to move forward and be invited into the bridegroom's chamber. One of the things that he's also doing with so many people is he's going to cause them to learn how to occupy till he comes. It's time that those who sat amongst the exiles will take their stand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, we have to go to a break. So hold that thought, and we'll be back in just a minute.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Amen.
We
are back.
If it's not on your actual.
And they're over there chatting. We're back. And Scene's not paying attention. So.
Get back into action, Scene.
Get your headphones. He's getting distracted on his phone. So I was just looking at, as you were reading about the virgins, I was hearing the Holy Spirit say, don't be late to the party. And we had been talking about that before we started the program today. That, you know, it's better to be prepared and looking and have your eyes open and you're anticipating.
Yeah.
You know, if people invite you to a party. So, you know, if you're not thinking about it as you're, you know, getting, so it's like Saturday. Well, like me, I'll just say this. So the day I was telling someone the other day, when the day we got married, my sister and I were at the beach. We were down in Antigua in the West Indies. So, you know, I liked going to the beach. So even we got married at 5 o'clock. So my sister and I are at the beach at about 11. We were there till maybe 12:30 or so, you know, and everybody's just having a fit, you know, because we're at the beach. It's like, well, you're getting married today. You should be, you know, getting all dolled up and everything. But, you know, I just came rolling in at the end. Which is kind of my...
Okay, Carrot.
A little roughshod on Kevin. Oh, boy.
But, that's kind of my nature, even work-wise. You know, I come rolling up, you know, right on time and stuff, but the Lord is saying, as George Whitefield was saying in the movie, awake, O sleeper, you know, awake, arise. And, you know, in Ephesians 5:14, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And the, you know, an opportunity in this, in the Greek is kairos. Kairos is a measure of time, a specific time, a fixed, definite time, a time when things are brought to crisis. And it's a decisive epoch, waited for. It's an opportune time. It's the right time, a limited period of time. And so I dare say that we are in a kairos moment right now in our nation, and where the Lord is waking up the church. And if you're hearing awake, get up out of your bed. I remember my mother used to have to, well, she didn't have to, but she did. She came up and, you know, threw cold water on us when we did.
Wow.
You know, even on Saturday morning, you know, you couldn't even sleep till 11 o'clock. But she'd come up and pour water to get you to get up and get out of bed. You know, and that's what the Lord's doing now. Get up. Wake up. Wake up. Look what's going on and get yourself ready, because God is really about to move in our nation and in the world. You can just see that it's like the fabric. To me, I just feel like this ripping of fabric. And, you know, I think everybody, even the staunchest believer, is like, what is going on? But God is about to move on our nation and in the world and through the body of Christ. It's time for the body of Christ to be seen and heard, because God is raising up his army, his remnant army, and his remnant looks like all different kind of things and all different kinds of people and all different ways that he's got people doing things. There's people in media, there's people in the arts and entertainment, there's people that are in the government, there's people that are in education and all these other different areas of society that God has put. Just think of it. Whoever's living right now today, you know, God ordained that. Every single one of us is where we are today because God decided that, Nanette, you were going to live in 2026 and that you were going to be part of what he wants to do in this hour. And seen as well, and me, and all of us. We're all brought into his kingdom for this time right now. So it behooves us to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and to respond to what he's saying.
Yeah. I was sharing the other day with someone, you know, I was talking to them about like the 12 tribes, right? And how Moses had, you know, before his last days, you know, he prophesied, right? He spoke the word of the Lord over each and every tribe. And then Jacob, you know, did the same. And it's interesting how the tribes were all different from one another. And when it came to even wars, you know, it was certain tribes, maybe it was two tribes, not all of them that fought, you know. And anyway, I was looking at that and I was like, gosh, again, with amongst each other, you know, we're all a part of the body. We're all a part of a tribe. And there's a word over that tribe, over that part, over us that will be fulfilled. And so the tribe was only responding to that word that was over them. And right. So God's word is over each and every one of us. And so we either become it and be part of the fulfillment of it, or listen to everybody else when they're saying, well, you know, you're not, look at you and, you know, look what you're doing. And but what about if that's the very word taking place in their life? This is the way God wanted it, period. This is the way God called it to be, period. We can't go against that, you know? So it's just, I don't know. That's something to think about, I think, and just to embrace more the different tribes that were around.
Right. You know, because if you look at all the...
Am I making sense? I don't know.
All the arguments and stuff that are taking place among believers in the church. And it's like, when you work in your own lane...
Yeah. Oh, you know, there you go.
You know, we've talked about that forever.
That's Adrian's quote.
When you do what God's calling you to do, then you don't have time to be thinking about what other people are doing.
Right, right.
But when you, you're talking about the fire, like those guys on the road to Emmaus. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I heard that preached in a sermon when I first got saved. You know, I remember, wow, what is that like? I wonder what that felt like, their hearts burning within them.
Gosh.
You know, I was like, well, I want my heart to burn within me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it did, you know, from that conversion experience I had. But when you get around people who share that same burning heart, they might be completely different, you know, operating in the body of Christ in a completely different realm than you are, but you know them by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what God is awakening us to, each other, so that we can, you know, connect by the Spirit with the people that, you know, that they're on the road to Emmaus alongside of you. You know.
You ever notice, like, when you say to somebody, I love you, and they'll text you back and they'll say, I love you more.
Mm-mm.
We're coming to that place. It is part of the escalation. But, you know, like, if you look at the way... So I'll just say, I love the Old Testament, but I love the New Testament more. If you look at the way people were called, Esther, for such a time as this, you've been called to the kingdom. You know, Elisha, you know, if you see me when I go, Elijah said to him, you know, you'll get a double portion. Isaiah, look at his gift, look at his calling. In the year King Uzziah died, you know, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. But, you know, I'm just saying that because what about the New Testament? How are we all called? It says we're all called by his glory and his virtue. Virtue means expression. We are to really express the life that's on the inside of us, and that's the doxa glory, the manifest presence of who God really is. So as we come to this place where we say, I love you, and we can say back, you know, both ways, I love you more. There's so much more in store, ready to be poured out for believers that know they're called by his glory and his virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's who you want to hang around with.
Yeah.
the people that are, you know, you know by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And, they, and again, they may be doing something completely unrelated to you, but you know that they're called into the kingdom. And those are the people who the Lord wants us to look for and to, you know, to just recognize.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I used to hang out with a bunch of parking lot prophets. You know, and a parking lot prophet is a person who sits in the parking lot, stands in the parking lot after a service and wants to talk bad about all the preachers and the teachers and why they don't like going to that church. And I've met some of those people over the years, but they were really exiled, and they had a gift, they had a calling, but they, you know, they weren't around the right leaders that could bring them to the place they couldn't bring themselves. And there's so many people right now that, you know, that are learning how to just take your time, pray, ask God to lead you, bring you into a place you can't bring yourself, because God really is raising up leaders who are taking a stand for the truth. They're taking a stand for Christ. They love people, and they want to help people do what they're really called to do. We can't make it any plainer than that. But this is that time of preparation. This is the hour to enter into a place where there's real power, and God is to be exalted in this, because it is a move of His Spirit in the earth right now that's giving birth to purpose, to plan, to assignment. But again, we're called by His glory and His virtue to express who He really is on the inside of us.
Amen.
And that's that.
Jack?
when you're talking about that, the virtue, I just remembered something I read yesterday. Well, this is quite long, but I won't read the whole thing. And this is from on Instagram, Horse and Chariot. I don't know if you see them. They're talking about running a good race. God has called you to run a good race, to run it faithfully and virtuously to the trailing exhale of your final breath. This is not a race of worldly success. It's the race of your soul, the journey of your character, and the path to fulfillment in God. You are not made to live in vice, wander in circles, or be carried by the currents of ease, but to run with virtue, with purpose, with unwavering faith. To do this, Scripture says you must rid yourself of everything that gets in the way, and the sin which easily clings so tightly. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom your faith depends from beginning to end. For the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard, and there are few who find it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, all the while knowing difficulty produces endurance, and endurance produces character, the very character God wills you to be. So run the race of life that you, the race of life before you with unshakable determination, understanding that God's will for you is not to run in darkness, but in the light of goodness, not to run aimlessly, but with a higher purpose, not to run half-heartedly, but to run in such a way as to glorify God with your every step.
Wow.
And then it goes on with other things. Yeah, you must run the race well. To run the race well, you must be formed, trained in mind, strengthened in will, and purified in heart. Virtue is the path. Grace is the strength. And Christ is the way and the goal. The teachings ahead will show you how to walk this path, not in theory alone, but in practice. So press on, open your heart, and let the Holy Spirit lead you along. Mm-hmm. Time to just pull it together. That this is a time. I know for me, you know, it's this awaken. Wait, you know, get a grip. You know, pull yourself together and and pay attention and be diligent about seeking the Lord, so that He can shine upon you. That Christ will shine upon you.
Yes, I agree.
Amen.
In this great time, though, of acceleration for God's people and God's house, I mean, I think we can really believe and thank God that when May 17th comes, it would be a word of rededication, you know, for our country and for those around the world who still hunger and thirst for living light of the truth. Because, you know, not only is our God a consuming fire and he's the light of life, and, you know, he came to his own received them not, but it's time for so many people to receive God in this redirection. So that's what we're going to be praying about even before, the 17th comes with the proclamation. But it's just time for, you know, everything God does, and every time he does it, it begins with the prefix RE, which means to redo, you know, reborn. Reconcile, renew your mind, you know, recompense, reward. Just think of all the words that begin with R-E. That's what God is doing in this redirection, in this reformation, in this revival.
And there are a lot of words with R-E.
Powerful.
You know, I remember when Jan and I got together again after a few years after 18 years of not seeing each other. You know, we began praying at the church that we were going to. And I remember that one day that she said, the Lord just gave me all these rewards. I mean, just she had just written them all down. The Lord was giving her revival, reformation, rededication, and so on and so forth. So we prayed into that a few years back.
Amen.
You know, but for the church, you know, because all our prayers were for the church. And that God would revive the church.
Restore, replenish.
That's right.
When he created
refresh,
Adam. What
redirect.
Was
redirect.
Adam's name in the Hebrew was Red Man, which means to redo. And he took the dust of the ground and he created a living, breathing soul. Took the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils, and the Bible says he became a living, breathing soul.
Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord wants to do again, is to breathe on each one of us.
Yes.
So, Lord, breathe your breath into us, that ruach.
Yes.
The ruach, Lord. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Jesus.
We just cry out, God, for a move of your spirit.
Yes.
Father, that you would bring refreshing to us as we turn our hearts to you, as we turn our attention to you, God. Father, that you would shift us and move us and pull us towards yourself.
Yes.
Father, give us the desire to draw close to you. Give us the desire to be in your word. Give us the desire to pray. Give us the desire to shake off the things of the past so that we can embrace the things that you want to bring. And Lord, we just bless you. We thank you. We worship you. We bless your name, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that it was for freedom that you set us free.
Yes.
And Lord, that you brought freedom to this nation because of our forefathers and because of those who came before, who had a vision from you, God, for freedom. And Lord, that you crafted our nation and that you gave men ideas. You gave them inspiration, Lord. And Father, we just think back of what you've done, both in our nation and what you've done for mankind. You know, where Jesus, that you came and you gave yourself for us, Lord, so that we could go free, so that we could be set free and love one another and love as you have loved us. So we thank you. We bless you. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Yes. And to think that we're having a rededication, a rededication. That's another re-word. So thank you, Lord, that we're being given the chance again to rededicate this nation that rightfully belongs to you. We don't even have to tell you that it belongs to you because it does belong to you. That's the thing. It already belongs to him. We just have the honor and the privilege to say so, to agree with it, to be part of that.
That's right. And Lord, make us agreeable to your will for our nation. Let us know what, give us each the revelation of your will for the nation. Because, you know, many people think many different things.
That's right.
But your will, in order to know what your will is for this nation, we have to know the history. We have to know what started and what you spoke to people, what you spoke to men, and what you desired.
You know, Paul the Apostle said, he asked the Lord to take away this crowd of people, this this thorn that was in his flesh. They followed him, you know, and they really, they recognized a real apostolic call in his life. And they were apostles of darkness, but they followed him. They tried to stop him, but he said, I besought the Lord three times, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And please know, everyone, that in your inability to produce results in your flesh, of course, the grace of God is real. The grace of God empowers you to walk in truth. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 5 says that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if, you know, keep on going, keep on moving, gain the momentum that's here by the supernatural outpouring, because if grace is the root of what God is doing in your life and God is faithful, then glory is the fruit. So if grace is the root, glory is the fruit. What he began, he will finish in your life and cause you to bring to pass what he's called you to.
Amen. Amen. So we've still got about 4 minutes or so. And we thank you.
Yeah.
You know, if you, again, if you, I think we've got a little ant problem in here. And anyway, but God is good.
Remember, he holds the future.
That's right. That's right. And Annette is over here laughing about something.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what's going to happen. Distractions are going to come, and we need to stay focused, mm-hmm. and we need to stay diligent and on course. And we just want to continue to partner with what God is doing, what God is saying. And so the 10 virgins, 10 bridesmaids, 10 wives, whatever you want to call them, they fell asleep. They all fell asleep. And so, but the fact is that they all woke up, and they all woke up to that very moment that they all had to face.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to enter into what he's doing. We want to enter in. We don't want to be left out. I don't want to be left out.
We don't want to be late to the party.
We don't want to be late to the party. And it is a serious thing. And my posture is very humbled and at a place where, Lord, let me be ready. Let mm-hmm. me be prepared, even myself. Let me be prepared. Let me have enough oil and enter in, because there's nothing like what's going to be behind those doors.
Amen.
That we want to be a part of.
Being a part of consecration, dedication, and commitment to really receive what we need to occupy, to take our stand, and to walk it out.
Amen. Amen. You know, and I heard that the oil that they used to use in the lamps, the oil was made like way beneath the ground. It had to be kept in the dark. You know, and think where the oil comes in your life is from that, in the darkness of your life, where it's just you and the Lord, where you go through that pressing and those places where God gets out, he extracts out of you
what he wants.
So
that's it.
Right. Well, we're just about out of time, so we thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back next Friday, and we hope to see you, hear from you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can use the form at WCNO.com, the prayer request form. You can just write a little note, prayer request, or comment. We'd love to hear from you. God bless. See you next week. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.